This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. The caregivers for ill or injured veterans and members of the military, they experience high levels of stress on a daily basis. Military caregivers are up to four times more likely to suffer from depression, according to a national report. Caregiving spouses, parents, and friends of the military community often sacrifice time, effort, and rest to handle issues inside and outside their homes. A new solution is starting out here in San Antonio to deal with that. 50 military families across Texas will soon be part of a pilot program designed to help the caregivers of wounded service members using computers and smartphone technology. UT Health San Antonio's 12-week military training, Military Caregiving Telehealth Initiative, will work to address conditions affecting loved ones, including pain management, mood disorders, anxiety, and dealing with depression. So we're going to be talking about this afternoon, and we're really going to open up the phone lines and hope that we hear from some of our listeners when they talk about their experiences as being a primary caregiver for a member of the military and some of the stresses that they have experienced. And we want you to know that if this is you, you are not alone. And as we have our conversation today, we want you to know that you do have permission to care for yourself, that if you don't care for the caregivers, then you're not really able to provide the best care that you can give. We're joined now with Dawn Velligan. She is professor of psychiatry and principal investigator of the Military Caregiving Telehealth Initiative pilot program at UT Health Science Center. Dawn, welcome to The Source. It's great to have you here.
Thank you so much for having us today.
And Roxanne Delgado, she is a postdoctorate fellow in the Department of Entomology and the Biostatistics at UT Health San Antonio, and a fellow with the University's Health Military Medicine Health Initiative. Welcome, Dawn.
Thank you so much.
And Roxanne, it's great to have you here. And Kimberly Peacock, research scientist at the Department of Epidemiology and Biostatistics at UT Health San Antonio, and a Gold Star wife. Your husband made the ultimate sacrifice during Operation Desert Storm. And Kimberly, it's great to have you here.
Thank you.
Dawn, if you could give me an overview of this project. How is this going to work? Military Caregiving Telehealth Initiative.
Yes, we're very excited about this program. The Military Caregiver Health Telehealth Initiative is a 12-week counseling program for the caregivers of our military veterans. It's designed to help the caregivers cope with multiple aspects of their life. There are many services available for the veteran, but for the caregivers who are doing an enormous service to this country, you know, as they take care of our wounded, ill, and injured veterans, they too, as you said, need to be taken care of. So we're offering counseling for 12 weeks, which we're willing to go longer if the caregivers themselves tell us they'd like more. The treatment's going to be face-to-face using an internet based platform. So it's kind of like Skype, but it's HIPAA compliant so that it's confidential. And we'll be able to see the caregivers and be aware of what they're feeling as they're talking to us. So we're pretty excited.
So how did this program come about? What was happening in the world that said we need to have something like this?
Well, I think Roxanna could probably talk about that in better detail than myself.
Sure. So we have seen through research commissioned by the Elizabeth Dole Foundation that caregivers were facing a lot of different challenges, to include mental health, physical health problems after they started caring for the wounded, ill, and injured service member. I myself, for example, as a caregiver back then in 2009 when my husband was wounded in action, I started seeing others around me, other caregivers, and years later, seeing them back and seeing how much of the toll have taken being a military caregiver. So when I step in at the University of Texas as a postdoctoral fellow and my colleague, Dr. Peacock, we started brainstorming and thinking about different programs that could attend right away or could fill those gaps and needs that were identified by the Elizabeth Dole Foundation RAND report. And we brought it up to Dr. Velligan and the team, and it just happens that UT had the perfect platform. They had the resources and the workforce to be able to implement something in a very rapid way. And that's very important, because I know that for quite some time we have been seeing around the nation the many struggles that military caregivers are facing, but we haven't seen institutions really stepping up to being able to provide in a fast, timely way programs like this one. So we're very excited to see this happening.
So, and Kimberly Peacock, as a research scientist in this area, what are you finding? How is this program going to be able to provide solutions?
Well, first of all, my background as a research scientist is actually in education. And so when Dr. Delgado and I, we've worked together for over 10 years, and I had the unique opportunity of working with caregivers and their families for 10 years now, and have seen the amazing work that these families have done, oftentimes unnoticed. And so when the Elizabeth Dole Foundation and other organizations, they've looked at the research, and Roxanne and I were like, the data's there. We know there's depression in this community, loneliness. And so my part in this is, from the education standpoint, let's find programs. Let's not continue to keep researching and researching. It's time now to bring something to the community that's quality, and that they can actually utilize, not just give them numbers and statistics, because that's been done. And so Dr. Belligan and her team were very gracious about, hey, how can we make an impact? How can we improve the quality of life of these caregivers and their families that are taking care of our nation's heroes?
And Don, so how is a Skype phone call, or it's a special platform, I know it's not Skype, but still something like that, how does that provide help?
Well, telehealth is important because there's a shortage of mental health providers. In most places in the country, there's one mental health provider for about 850 or so people. And in Texas, it's even lower than that. It's maybe one mental health provider for 1,100 people.
And we have many counties that have none.
That's correct. And a lot of these people go back to rural environments, and so there's not anybody to see them. Not only that, a lot of people can't leave their house. They're taking care of the wounded, ill, or injured veteran, and they're taking care of their kids, and they might be taking care of elderly parents. And so this allows them to have therapy right from the convenience of their home, on their computer, on their tablet, or on their smartphone.
So just talk therapy, just explaining what's going on, or are they going to get practical advice about how to deal with certain issues?
Well, this is for the caregiver, not to help the caregiver take better care of the veteran, but to take care of the caregiver. So we're going to be using evidence-based therapies such as cognitive behavior therapy and techniques from acceptance-based therapies and dialectical behavior therapy to help people cope with anxiety, depression, insomnia, et cetera, in their lives.
All right, we'll talk more about that when we come back from the break. A new pilot program at UT Health San Antonio aims to provide care for military and veteran caregivers. If you want to join our conversation, we'd love to hear you, particularly if this is you. Tell us about your stresses dealing at being the primary caregiver. Of course, this is something that, you know, it's a responsibility, and many people take on this responsibility wholeheartedly and they accept it. But there's also a lot of baggage that comes along with that, and talking about it can help. Give us a call. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. The Source continues after this. You're listening to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. We know San Antonio as Military City USA, but with Military City USA comes Military Caregivers USA. These are the people who are helping take care of our wounded warriors with their visible and invisible wounds, and it can take a toll, and these folks frequently are overlooked and unthanked. We do want to thank them today, and also we want them to know that they're not alone, and there's a place they can go for help. And we're talking about a new program today that is offering that help at UT Health San Antonio. Give us a call if this applies to you. If you've got something to add to the conversation, we'd love to hear from you. The number is 210-614-8980. So, Don Villagrant, tell me about, as a military caregiver, how is that different than being a primary caregiver for other issues?
Well, the military caregiver has a lot of things that they need to go through. They may not be insured themselves, so they can get care for the veteran but not for themselves. They're often struggling with, dealing with bureaucracies to get care for the person that's injured or wounded. And So there are a lot of things that they're going through that people with standard health care might not have to face.
But they're typically, do you think they have a full-time job as well, or is this their full-time job?
Well, sometimes they have chosen to leave their profession and give everything up to take care of the injured veteran, and other times they're the sole breadwinner for the family. And so not only are they the primary caregiver, but they're also having to take care of the family financially. So they're really overwhelmed with all that they need to do for everybody who's counting on them.
Sometimes it's the spouse, sometimes it's the parent.
That's right.
And the aging parent.
Yes.
And so they have a lot of concerns with that as well.
Yeah, what's going to happen when they can no longer take care of this person?
And then, and being the primary caregiver involves a lot of physical activity as well.
It does, and sometimes they're not able to do the things they need to do that, you know, they have to help lift and do other things that, you know, over time they're not going to be able to do. It takes a tremendous emotional and physical toll, you know, and a lot of times you feel very alone. You don't want to necessarily reach out to your friends and talk to them all the time because then it's not fun for them and you can't maintain friendships. And so you really feel very isolated.
And so, Roxanne Delgado, you have two roles here. You are, of course, an expert, and you are providing a research fellow at the UT Health San Antonio on this, but also you are the wife of a Purple Heart recipient. Your husband received a traumatic brain injury while on patrol.
Yes, he was wounded in June 29th, 2009, and he was medically evacuated, so he was wounded in action. And at that time, I was a researcher, but I always say that no degree can prepare you to what you're going to face as a military caregiver. And it was very difficult at first. It's like your life is being put on pause. And this is what many caregivers are experiencing. Close to 30% of our caregivers are parents caring for a severely wounded veteran. The rest are between spouses. The majority of post-9/11, like myself, are spouses. And the mean age is in their 20s. So they're very young. They may be in school. They may be having a job or just at the beginning of their careers. So many of them are forced, basically, to put on hold everything that they have in life, so their goals and everything they do. Why? Because sometimes these injuries are so severe that they have to even move to medical facilities like the one we have here in San Antonio, in San Antonio Army Medical Center, or Walter Reed in Washington, D.C. So what we're seeing is a lot of different families being basically disrupted because their kids, sometimes they have to stay back home. So, yeah, seeing all this and seeing some of the data that has been produced by RAND, that's one thing that why we wanted to really reach out to this community and start doing something that would be meaningful to improve their health and well-being, especially their mental health. We have seen anecdotally that caregivers are having suicide ideation, and that's something that it's very compelling and very sad to see in this community. Many of them are caring for someone that it actually has suicide ideations too. So how that gets translated or passed on to the caregiver, how that passed on to their children, that's something that is very important to take care of. So,
and Kimberly, if you're the primary caregiver for someone who is dealing with PTSD, how is that different?
Well, we say that that's, an invisible wound of war. It's not like other physical injuries where people can see those. And so we know that many of our families are struggling with, whether it's PTSD or TBI or oftentimes both, and very hard to articulate all of the things that they deal with on a daily basis in dealing with those types of injuries, because there's a lot of unknown, there's a lot of uncertainty, and there's a lot of change daily that our caregivers go through in dealing with those types of injuries.
But if you're the primary caregiver and you're dealing with someone who has an invisible wound, and we may intellectually know what's happening, but then at the same time you could have compassion fatigue and may not always be able to provide the right words or especially when you're dealing with someone who is on a short fuse and may be snapping at you right when you are at the breaking point.
Absolutely. And we've had caregivers, tell us, I feel like I'm walking on eggshells. I don't want to say the wrong thing or do the wrong thing, that I become the trigger. That in itself then can become very isolating, especially if there are children in the home. They may not feel as comfortable bringing their classmates around because they don't want to set off their family member. So they began to kind of isolate themselves over time, and it becomes a very lonely existence.
And so, Dawn, when you have a primary caregiver dealing with those circumstances, what can the telehealth talk back do for them?
Well, first of all, it gives them a place to tell their story where they don't have to worry about what the other person is going to think and how much they're burdening the other person. They can just kind of tell their story uninterrupted. And then we can help to identify some coping strategies that maybe they haven't thought of, maybe they haven't been exposed to, especially for these younger caregivers. They're just barely figuring out their own lives, and they may not have learned coping strategies to deal with overwhelming emotions. And so that's where these trained therapists can come in. We have some of the best therapists in the country trained in multiple evidence-based therapies, and we're going to use their knowledge and the knowledge from these military caregivers to actually build a therapy specific for this population, so that then we might be able to branch out across the country and even further to our NATO allies and the caregivers of those men and women.
So what are some of these coping mechanisms or exercises that you mentioned? What are some things that people can tell them right now?
Some things that we can tell them right now are that basically some of the techniques of acceptance-based therapies are important. We spend so much of our time wishing it wasn't this way. And the longer we do that, the harder it is for us to sort of move on. The very first kind of thing is kind of accepting the present as it is so that you can move forward from that. And there are also strengths that you learn along the way, and I'm sure Roxana had to learn a number of coping strategies for herself, including how to manage time. She was going to school, I think, at the same time when things were going on. And so having these multiple demands, just how to manage time, how to structure things, how not to be down on yourself. When you have automatic thoughts about, oh, I'm the worst person for thinking this bad thing about my spouse. No, that's pretty normal. So we do a lot of normalizing. And a lot of helping people to make their thoughts a little bit more accurate about who they are and what they're doing so that they don't condemn themselves for things that are pretty normal in their situation.
Roxanne, were these coping mechanisms helpful to you?
Absolutely. And one thing that, and that's a good point that Dawn is bringing, because one of the things that happens at first when you receive or somebody gets medically evacuated or you have somebody that has been wounded ill in battle is that that person may become somebody else. In my case, Victor, when he came back, he had severe cognitive issues. His speech, he was a stutter. He suffered multiple injuries. So he wasn't the Victor I married 9 years earlier. And I had to go through a lot of understanding that grieving process. He's very much here. He's present, but he's not my Victor. You know, that's one of the first things that I remember thinking. So I started reading a lot about ambiguous loss and the grieving process, which is something that this telehealth is also going to be helping some of these military caregivers accepting their present, accepting their situation, their circumstances. At the time, I was starting my PhD, so of course, a lot of time management understanding the grieving process that I was going through, trying to engage as many as I could, people in the community to support in some way how I was going to be able to move on. So there's many strategies that we can apply in terms of self-care to mindfulness. And those are some of the things that this telehealth is going to be teaching the caregivers.
So when people connect to the telehealth, you're looking for 50 volunteers, is that right now? And how do they get in contact with you if they're interested in this?
If they're interested, they can call Cynthia Sierra at area code 210-562-5215. And all they need to do is let us know that they'd like some help, and we will assign them to a therapist.
So there'll be a trained therapist on the other end of the computer and talking to these people. So what is it? I guess it's a special sort of training that people have? For military caregivers, they know specifically about what that experience would be like.
Yes. Actually, Roxana and Kimberly has trained our team, who was trained in evidence-based practices. But they've trained our team to know about the challenges of military caregivers so that we could be of the most help to them.
So, Kimberly, what did you tell them to expect?
We just explored the military culture, what it's like being a military spouse or a military parent, explaining those roles, what the military caregiver looks like, and that they're not, oftentimes when we hear the word caregiver, we think of someone taking care of an aging parent or someone who is later in years in life, and that these are young people who have been given this role of a caregiver. And so we gave them all of that background information, because they're unique. They're unlike any other caregiver, and the population that they're caring for. They are caring for individuals who have comorbid conditions. And so that in itself brings on a whole different layer of caregiving than our civilian counterparts.
So comorbid conditions means they're dealing with a lot of things.
A lot of things.
Right. And so It's also, now that we know our military is made of service men and women,
correct,
that we have caregivers who could be the husband.
Absolutely.
And they're put into a role maybe they didn't really ever expect that they would be put in.
Correct. And parents taking care of their daughters. Definitely.
And so is it being a cheerleader or I mean, how would you a shoulder to cry on? How does that work?
I don't look at it as that way. I think, like Dawn said earlier, it gives them an opportunity to tell their story. Very often, we are interested in, whether it's in medical appointments, therapy appointments, the focus is on the veteran, is on the service member, and not on the family member who is rendering that care every day.
Right.
So it's an opportunity for them to have a voice. It may be, like in Roxana's case, a very powerful voice, a very positive voice, but it may be that individual that is feeling lonely or is feeling sad. So I think the uniqueness of this program is that it allows Dawn's team to meet these caregivers where they are on their journey.
All right, our phone lines are open. We'd like to hear from our listeners about this program. If you're interested, if you've been in that situation, how did you deal with it? What advice can you pass along? The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. You could also email us at thesource@tpr.org. And we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back. Welcome back to The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. There's a new pilot program at UT Health San Antonio with the aim to provide care for military and veteran caregivers through telehealth medicine, through the Skype kind of a program over computers to talk to people who are providing the health care to our caregivers, primary caregivers, for those who are ill, injured veterans, members of the military. And it can be a really tough job. You experience a high level of stress. There's been studies that show that these people are susceptible to depression. Also, their own immune systems can be knocked down by being the caregiver. And they can also deal with sleep problems and other stress-related issues. Give us a call if you want to talk about this. The number is 210-614-8980. If you've been experienced this, if you lived in a household with a military caregiver, if you are part of the military community and had someone care for you, we want to hear from you as well. The number is 210-614-8980. And so, Don Villagram, tell me about how this saves taxpayers money. Actually, these caregivers are heroes in a number of ways, and one of them is that they provide a big service.
Oh, absolutely. The country saves millions of dollars because these family members, these friends, these spouses have taken it upon themselves to every day take care of the needs of are injured and wounded and ill veterans. And so if they had to be taken care of in special facilities, it would cost so much money. They're doing such a big service. We call them hidden heroes because they're doing such a huge service to our country.
Because they're providing such a huge service, then it only seems right that you guys provide some sort of service back to them and help them.
Absolutely. We've had a hard time keeping the number of therapists who want to be involved in this program down to a manageable level because everybody wants to give back. This is Military City USA. The UT health program has a military institute that's devoted to this population, and everybody wants to be on board and help these caregivers.
Let's go to the phone lines. Glenn is on the line. And Glenn, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
My pleasure. I just wanted to say that all the panel is really on point regarding this. I work for a program here at JBSA for caregivers. I'm a peer-to-peer support coordinator, and we have the caregivers get together at forums, and we also have a mental health practitioner that facilitates it. We actually have them throughout the country, and we also have a virtual forum where people can call in. And I just wanted to say that it's great to have more programs for caregivers because, as the panelists said, they are hidden heroes. And the more types of programs, services we can provide for them, the better off they'll be.
All right, Glenn, thank you for calling in. I appreciate you calling in and telling us that. But, you know, so I'm just can't get over the fact that there needs to be more, you know, physical help for people who are providing this type of care. I mean, can't there be some sort of program that will come in to help someone do some housework or something, you know, for someone who's doing this type of work? I mean, I know that you're talking about giving them mental and emotional support, but there's got to be some practical support as well out there, right?
I think there is.
There is actually some programs, and if you know, you're a military caregiver, you can go to hiddenheroes.org, and it actually gets stratified by state, by city, and by type of services. So depending on the need of that military caregiver, like you were saying, you know, there's a lot of house chores that needs to take care of, especially the yard. We hear a lot of problems of caregivers finding somebody to do their backyard, to do the yard, and things like that. So things that we take for granted are definitely something that caregivers are facing in terms of the burden of all that role plus all the other things and responsibilities they have with their families. So definitely that would be a great source of information, hiddenheroes.org. We are very much a partner with, you know, the Elizabeth Dole Foundation. So we would like, you know, for caregivers to go there and find other, based on their needs.
Hiddenheroes.org. Okay, another caller, Pamela. Hi, Pamela. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Yes, hi. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
So I was a caregiver for my ailing father, who was a World War II veteran. And this was back in when my children were very small. I had three small children. And my father lost his leg. He had an amputation, and I was it. My brothers and sister were out of state, and it kind of happens when they're out of state, they're kind of out of mind. And I was it to take care of them. And what I want to say to the listeners, because back then there was no programs like we have, like you're talking about now. Mm-hmm. My dad ended up committing suicide because he just didn't have the help, and I wasn't prepared, or I didn't have the training to help him. And that's really what I want to say to the listeners is, if I'd have had this help, just someone to talk to, someone to prepare me to say the things I needed to say to my father, so this didn't happen, it would have been amazing, because I was so exhausted all the time. I had three small children, and trying to be, you know, the perfect mother, and tried to be the perfect daughter, and it just didn't work out.
Pamela, thank you so much for the call. I sure do appreciate that, and I'm sorry to hear about your dad, but thank you so much for calling. So, panel, you hear Pamela's story, and Kimberly, you want to join in?
Yeah. First of all, Pamela, thank you for your service to our nation, for taking care of your dad. And I think why this type of program is so important, to reach out to those hidden heroes. And the reason why I'm so vested in this and in this community. In 1991, when the flag was folded off my first husband's coffin and handed to me, the words that were whispered in my ear that so many people don't know unless you attend a military funeral or have been on that receiving end of that flag, is that this is from a grateful nation. And I think programs like this were actually upholding those words. So for businesses like USAA and for the City of San Antonio, Military City USA, UT Health, the Military Health Institute, to come and back a program like this and say, we're going to support it, we're going to put our resources there because we care about this community that so often doesn't have a voice, speaks volumes about the city that we live in. And I think it's like Pamela was just saying, if I had had someone to talk to, we want to give that to this community, someone for them to talk to and share their story with.
So Dawn, when we heard Pamela's story and her dad committed suicide, and frequently that is the outcome for what happens in these. We know that suicide is something that happens frequently with our returning veterans for a number of reasons. But despite the high level of care and the caring that the primary caregiver is providing, that happens. And I can imagine that if that's you, the caregiver, you may wonder, did I miss something? Is this, you know, and then they adopt this guilt, and that they need to realize that they did all they could do. And of course, we don't all know our limits. And so that's where there's a lot of pain after that.
Absolutely, there is. And around anybody, you know, who takes their own life, people often think, oh, I should have noticed this, or I should have done this differently.
Or maybe I shouldn't have snapped.
Yeah, maybe it was something I said. And people just always try to rethink what they could have done. And I just want to say to all the caregivers out there that you are doing the very best job that you can. And anybody under these overwhelming circumstances sometimes, you know, says things that might not be the best.
We're all human.
But absolutely, we're human beings. And we have to let ourselves be human. We can't be perfect caregivers, just like we can't be perfect wives, and we can't be perfect daughters and sisters, and we just can't. And we have to allow ourselves to be human and understand that this is normal, and you know, that we are doing everything that we can.
Know your limits. How important is that?
It's very important. Caregivers, they kind of stop taking care of themselves because they're so focused on the veteran. So they're not going to their dental appointments, and they're not going to their annual exams with their gynecologist, and they're not, they're not getting their cavities filled, and they're not meditating, and they're not breathing, and they're not doing things like yoga that could be so beneficial for their own physical health. So they really have to be focused somewhat on taking care of themselves so that they can do a better job in all their roles in life.
And even plugging into this telehealth conversation they would have with the therapist, that would be some me time when they could just focus on what I'm talking, my feelings, and having someone who would listen.
Absolutely. And someone who is going to be on their side, someone who's going to, you know, help them develop ways to cope with some of the overwhelming emotions they must have, the grief and the loss and sadness, anxiety, et cetera.
And someone who will ask the questions, how tired are you? How are you sleeping? How are you losing weight? Are you gaining weight? How much are you drinking?
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. And then to try and process that and says, it seems to me like you're dealing with a clinical depression. Maybe we should talk about that.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's something that would happen.
Absolutely.
Okay, we're going to continue this conversation. We got one more segment coming up. We're going to take a break. Our phone lines are open. We'd certainly like to hear from our listeners. Did you live in a household with a military caregiver? Are you part of the military community and had someone care for you? Are you a caregiver? We want to hear your story and tell your story so that others can benefit from your experience. The number is 210-614-8980, 210-614-8980. Dale, we'll get your call when we come back from this break. This is The Source. Stay tuned. This is The Source on Texas Public Radio, 89.1 FM. I'm David Martin Davies. There is a pilot program launching here in San Antonio that's going to aid caregivers in military families. It's being operated by the UT Health San Antonio, and we're joined by participants in the program. Dawn Villagram, she is the professor of psychiatry and principal investigator in the pilot program at UT Health San Antonio, and Roxana Delgado and Kimberly Peacock are both research scientists with this as well. Let's go to the phone lines. Number is 210-614-8980, and Dale is on the line. Dale, welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Well, thank you for taking my call, and let me just say, this sounds like a really great program. Is there a cost to the caregiver? Will there be, I mean, will there like have to have, let's say, will TRICARE cover that, or, you know, will Blue Cross and Blue Shield, or is this a free of charge initiative?
All right, Dale, thank you for that very practical and important question. And so can you tell us, Dawn?
Yes, this program is funded by USAA, and all of the therapy that we're going to provide is free to the caregiver. It's not affiliated with the VA. We will take no insurance. We will take no money.
And talk about the platform and how that works.
The platform is called eVisit, and we've been using it at UT Health for several years now. It allows people to wait in a virtual waiting room, and then we go in and we connect with one another, and we talk directly over this service. We're allowed to keep notes in there. It's all HIPAA compliant and secure.
But it's important to many that this information that is, that's exchanged is not shared with the military and all that, right?
Absolutely. What they're going to be sharing with us will be confidential, and it will be treated with the same standards that all medical health data are treated.
Okay. Another caller, Christina, is on the line. Hi, Christina. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Hi. Thank you so much. I don't know. I feel like I don't have a whole lot to add that somebody hasn't already said, but I just really wanted to express how grateful I am that I turned on my radio to hear this today. I lost my husband on Christmas this year. He was an Iraqi war veteran. He died 5 days before his 31st birthday. And for 7 years, I was his primary caretaker. There were a lot of resources that we found available to him, and I was always so grateful for all of those things. But I was never offered any kind of support, and nobody ever asked me how I was sleeping. Nobody ever asked me if I was okay, and I think that it's vastly important, and I think it's so it's indirect, it's a massive way to help our veterans by supporting their primary resources, their caretakers, their family members. So thank you for this, and I love the platform. I love that it's easy and accessible and private, and I think it's great.
Christina, thank you so much for your call. I sure do appreciate it, and thank you for everything. Kimberly, do you want to add anything?
Oh, yes. Christina, thank you. Thank you for calling in, and thank you for sharing. I know that took a lot of courage to be able to do that. One thing that we talked about on the break that we do want to make sure that the listeners know, that this is a pilot. We are going to, you know, take the 50, but our hope is that as this grows, we want to include pre-9/11 caregivers, and then we want to build that soft bridge into our Gold Star families, our families that have lost someone, because you need a voice as well. And we know it can be a very lonely journey, but for our listeners out there, we hope that you will take advantage of this program, because there will be a live person on the other end that truly cares about you and wants to hear your story and wants to walk this journey with you.
So in the platform, it's face-to-face. You're like doing, like you're able to see each other. And so there's so much communication that comes from face-to-face that maybe you can read things there. And why is that important? And what do you want to say to Christina?
Well, that's a lot of questions. It's good to see someone face-to-face. You can see what emotions they're feeling. People will often try to hide that they're crying. You can see it on the e-visit, and it's really important. You can see the stress. You can see the bags under their eyes because they haven't been sleeping. And all of these things are that they've lost so much weight. All of those things are important for a therapist to know and to talk about. We do want to expand this program in the future, given funding, to Gold Star families, to families throughout the country. Right now it's families in Texas, caregivers in Texas, but we want to expand this across the nation and maybe even across other countries to our allies who've also been involved in these conflicts with us.
How are children affected by this as well? Frequently, you know, you're a parent and you're having to take care of kids, but maybe also you're the primary caregiver of somebody who needs a lot of support, and maybe sometimes the kids don't get all the attention that they need, and they need to be brought into this as well. I mean, so how do we keep reminding ourselves the kids are kids, and we got to take care of the kids, Roxana?
And children are taking a lot of the roles. I personally have some friends that they're caring for someone that has a brain injury with a seizure, and they called the three-year-old was trained to be in seizure watch. So you're having children from the very, very young age being trained of how to identify the triggers if there's a PTSD, seizures, traumatic brain injury. It's incredible.
That's a lot to lay on a kid.
Yes, and it's incredible how much of the house chores needs to be now putting on the shoulders of children. So they're having a very different life than what you would envision if they had a different situation, if they were not caregivers. So, of course, the burden goes to the primary caregiver. The children could be considered also primary caregivers. I want to say to Christina also, and you couldn't see my tears, but I was crying here on the other side. Why? Because I could relate so much. For the first years I was caring for my husband, I remember telling someone at the military, why nobody ever asked me how am I doing? I spent hours and hours in medical facilities going from one side to the other. It's not until we were in Walter Reed that one day one of the social workers looked at me and said, so how are you doing, Roxana? And it really created a whole commotion of emotions in me, because it was the first time years later that somebody asked me how I personally was doing. So, Christina, if you're still listening, we are trying to, like Kimberly mentioned, like Don mentioned, we are also going to be taking care of those who cross the bridge, who are now the Gold Star families. And it is very important for the people to know, in here in the United States, there's 5.5 military caregivers across the nation. And 20% of those are post 9/11. The rest, the other 80%, are pre 9/11, just like Pamela. So we're here to care for all. We want to make sure that we're here for all. For now, we're starting with Texas and 50 families, 50 caregivers. But the intent is for us to care for the caregiver across the nation.
Let me get another caller. Mark. Hi, Mark. Welcome to The Source. You're on the air.
Thank you very much. First, I'd like to say what an outstanding program this could be. On June 20th, I lost my father to prostate cancer. He was a career military officer with just shy of 30 years in the military as a nuclear weapons officer. And the toll that 9 years of prostate cancer and everything that went along with it took on my family me, my sister, and you know, most importantly, my mom. And I'm sorry for being emotional, but it's still pretty raw. I can't imagine. I can't imagine the pain, even though I was there, and the suffering that my mom had gone through for 9 years without, you know, a similar program to this to turn to. And, you know, my mom needed a break, and either my sister and I would, you know, would drop what we were doing and go and take my dad to appointments or sit with him or help him or, you know, whatever the case may be. And, you know, I was at my mom's last night, and she said to me, one of the last things of a conscious conversation that she had had with my dad, my mom said, you know, I love you. And my dad said, I love you too, and you really must love me to put up with this and everything that it has done to you for the last 9 years. And I'm thankful that you all are doing what you're doing for a program like this. And I'm thankful that, you know, somebody out there thought outside the box to come up with something like this. And I would certainly like to learn more, and I don't want to speak on behalf of my mom, but I'm sure my mom would be very interested in, you know, having that opportunity to visit with a spouse, whether that be a husband or a wife that has gone through something similar, to say, you know what, I've been there too. And I can tell you what it's like, because I've been there, not just from, and no offense, but not just from a counselor who read about it or studied it or something like that, but actual physical input.
Mark, thank you so much for calling in. I'm sorry to hear about your dad, and hang with your mom. It sounds... we're out of time, but I want to thank our guest. Also, I want to plug the program again, and we're going to have the link and the number and all that stuff on our website, but the phone number to call in is 210-562-5215. We've got Dawn Delegran. She is here, Roxana Delgado, and Kimberly Peacock with UT Health San Antonio, and this is The Source on Texas Public Radio. Thanks for tuning us in.